This would be like a part four. This would be a part four of this same Jesus. As you see on the front of your bulletin, we have our theme scriptures.
Right.
This same Jesus, coming from Acts chapter number 1, 10 through 11, Hebrews 9 and 28, and John chapter number 4 and 29. Acts 1, 10 through 11 says, "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In Hebrews 9 and 28, correlating or companion scripture to that, says, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." And the supporting scripture for the two is going to come from John 4 and 29. Scripture says, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Not this the Christ. Now, as we have been going over, we are concerned about the life in between the two comings of Jesus. The time when Jesus was taken up to the time when Jesus returns. As we, Sister Vicki, I think, was saying this morning that he's not coming to the earth. That's not the time that we're looking for. We're not looking for Jesus coming to the earth. We're looking for Jesus coming back to coming back in the clouds. All right, so we are concerned, as we said, with that. The next time that Jesus comes, we want to see him meet us in the clouds. We don't want to see Jesus when he's coming back to the earth, as we went over on last Sunday. I know the Revelation letter says that when every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. But then the latter part of that lets us know that that's not a happy time, because it says that there'll be weeping. I think that's Revelations 1 and 7. "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." That's not the time that we want to see Jesus like that. That looks like Jesus coming as a judge, one that bringing judgment on the earth. We don't want that. We don't want to see him that way. But as Hebrews says, we want to see him as the one that completes our salvation. He says he's coming without sin unto salvation. "Behold, he cometh." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. Without sin. Unto salvation. So that's the part that we are anticipating. That's what we're looking forward to. Now, on this morning, I want to focus on the left side of your bulletin, down the bottom. The scripture there that is in Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. Now, in the bulletin, we have highlighted the Living Bible. But we're going to be looking at both the Living Bible as well as what is written in the King James Version, all right? Now, chapter number 6 in Hebrews, we're going to look at, again, starting at the 16th verse. And I'm going to read it in the King James. It says, "For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." In other words, when someone makes a promise or declares that they're going to be truthful or carry through what they say, it's saying here that when an oath for confirmation, when someone is there to back what that person is saying up, it brings an end to the conflict. It removes all of the doubt. That's why, just to kind of give you an example of what this looks like, when you go to court and they tell you they make the statement, they say, "Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?" And they give you the Bible or something to put your hands on. they're saying that the Bible is there to confirm what you're saying. In other words, the feeling is that if you do lie, the expectation is you're going to drop dead right then and there. You know, because you shouldn't put your hand on that Bible and make a promise that you're not going to keep. Or else the Lord is going to hold you accountable to that. So that's the concept behind it. It's no different than when people post bail. And you see how people say, well, they put their house up to post the bail. Or they use their home or their car as collateral. But what are they saying? Well, they're saying that you can depend on me to pay this debt. Because at the end of the day, I definitely don't want to lose my house. But if I don't keep what I said, you have every right to take the property that I used as collateral. In other words, if I don't pay this debt, you have every right to take my car. You have every right to take my home. And if I don't pay the debt, I'm the loser. Because now I'm not going to have nothing to drive. And if I may not have a place to lay my head. All because I did not keep my word. I did not keep my word. So when you're looking at that, it says verse number 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it is was impossible for God to lie. Jesus doesn't lie. He cannot lie. The lie is not in Jesus. That's why Jesus says specifically in Scripture that he is the way, the what? The truth and the life. He cannot lie. We might have a strong consolation so that we can be assured. We can, whenever the enemy tries to attack us with doubt, we should be able to be assured and say, well, if we look back at what Jesus says and what Jesus has done, we can say that every time he has promised something to us, he has always come through with his word. And that's our consolation. That is what encourages us, that no matter what comes our way, whatever the enemy tries to lay discouragement in our mind, that he may use people to do that, we can stand flat-footed and say, hold up. Even though you're telling me this, let me go and see what Jesus says. Because I can depend on what Jesus says in his word. I may not be able to depend on everybody else, you know, but I can depend on what Jesus says. Because what Jesus says, he's going to do it. And when he says he's going to do something, because he cannot lie, I can depend on him to do just what he says. Now, he may not do it when I want him to do it. He may not do it according to the timing that I have in my mind. But I can rest assured that what he has promised, he is going to do it. Okay? Starting also, now let's go keep a little bit further, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the promise set before us. Verse number 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, wherewith the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So let's just really quick get a little understanding of what that particular passage is saying. Now we know Jesus came down here to die on the cross for us. And when he died on the cross, he shed his blood. The purpose of the blood was to make us one with him. We were not one with him because of sin. Sin served as a divider between me and Jesus. But when Jesus died on the cross, he shed that blood not only to remove sin from me, but again to make me one with him. That's what atonement means, to be at one. Now, after Jesus did that, according to the scripture, he went back up into the heavens for what purpose? According to the scripture, to provide for us an eternal redemption. We need a redeemer from the time that we're born until the time that we die. We don't need a redeemer to be a partial. We need a redemption to be forever. We don't need a partial redemption. So go over to really quick, just so that we can confirm this with scripture. Hebrews chapter number 9, and someone read starting at verse number 11. Yes. Yes. That's right.
Neither by the blood of goats.
So you see that? Now that's what the sacrifices were before Jesus died on the cross. They were sacrificing both what? Bulls and goats and calves. But Jesus says he did not use blood from what? Bulls, goats, or calves. But what did he do? He used his own blood. That's why John, when John saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God,"
right,
which takes away the sin from the world.
Right.
Jesus used his own blood. He became a sacrifice for sin for us.
Right.
He is the Lamb.
Right.
He is the Lamb that was slain for us. One writer there in the book of Revelations talks about that.
Yes.
Said when he saw and he looked, he said, wasn't nobody worthy to open up the books. Wasn't nobody worthy to pour out judgment. Because again, there was no one greater than humans on the earth. Well, they needed someone greater than humans. They needed someone greater than angels. But then it says that when he looked, he saw a lamb. Well, who did he see? He saw that lamb sitting on the throne. He saw a figure of an image of one that had been slain, that had went through something. And that's where when he looked at it, he saw it was Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, the scripture says, all that was in heaven bowed down and gave praise unto him that sat on the throne, saying what? Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. All right. Y'all say, well, where are you finding all of that? Revelations chapter number 5. You go, if you go to 5, and we'll start at 5 and verse number 5.
Okay.
We'll start at 5. Let's start at 5 and verse number 1. Look at 5 and 1.
Okay. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with 7 seals.
Yep.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book?
When he looked at all of the people that were in the earth, that wasn't the case.
The
earth had no one in it that was worthy to loose the seals of judgment.
Right.
In other words, to bring an end to sin.
Right.
And those that desired to follow behind sin.
Right.
Remember, Jesus did not come to judge the world per se. He says, I love you.
Right.
I love the human. But one thing Jesus cannot stand is sin. He has to deal with sin. He realized sin is originated from rejection or from rebellion. Sin came into the earth because Lucifer rebelled or rejected the righteousness of Jesus.
Right.
And when that happened, Lucifer was put out of the heavens. Jesus went down and judged the earth and replenished the earth, put a man down on the earth. He said it was all good. It was righteous. But who was still infected with sin? Lucifer.
Right.
Lucifer, that fallen angel. That fallen angel could not be redeemed. He could not be redeemed. He was stuck in sin. But he saw the Creator create a creature that he showed love to.
Right.
According to the scripture, God formed that man out of the dust of the ground, and then he breathed into that man the breath of life.
Right.
And that man became a living soul.
Right.
And that's why when the angels looked at him, they were astonished and said, "What is man that you're so mindful of him? Or this creature that you've brought into existence, why have you set your love on him and not us?"
Right.
Huh? Right. Remember when angels fell, that was it. They had to be condemned. But when the Lord saw the human, he cared so much for the human, he formed that human from the dust of the ground, and he put his breath in that human, and he strived to prevent that human from making the same mistake as Lucifer. What? He said, I have to test him. I have to give him a boundary. I have to give him some kind of a trial period. He says, I'm going to create a tree that is in the midst of the garden that has the knowledge of both good and evil, and I'm going to give him a command not to eat of that tree. If he eats of that tree, he shall surely die. But that's not the only tree. That's not the only option. I'm also going to put in the garden a tree of life. But what did the man choose? He chose death over life. But when the man chose death, God woke up from his Sabbath rest and began to seek after the creature that he loved. Satan thought that when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, the same thing that happened to him was going to happen to them. But that was not so. Jesus began to seek and to save that which was loved, the one that he loved, right? That's the truth. Lord put his love on that creature. Got up and started calling out to him. Adam, where are you? And Adam tried to hide himself. Adam tried to hide himself in the midst of the trees. And then we realized they tried to avoid personal accountability because they tried to say this was the reason for it. That was the reason for it. That was the reason. But the Lord said, no, you can't get away from it. He said that because you did this thing, from dust thou art, and dust you're going to return. Right? But he says, I'm going to make a promise. A promise, an oath. Huh? I'm going to bruise that serpent's head. That old trickster. That old slickster. That tries to lie and deceive. I see he came on back down into my creation. And tries to mess up my creation because he's messed up. But now I'm going to deal with him myself. Now when I come to deal with him, he is going to bruise my heel. In other words, he is going to affect my flesh. He is going to injure my body. But I am going to blow his head. I'm going to knock the wind out of him. In other words, I'm going to deal with the source of the problem that is in him and in the creature. Huh? I'm going to deal with it all. And when you look over in the book of Revelation, here it is. Jesus is describing what it is like for him to deal with sin. And when it comes down to dealing with sin, the writer says that they looked throughout the whole earth from all the time, and there was no one worthy. In other words, no one lived in such a way that they had a right to judge somebody else for their errors. Huh? I ain't got a right to judge you for your errors. Why? Because when I look in the mirror and I look back over my own life, I'm just as guilty as the next fella. The only one that is not guilty like me is a righteous God that does not know sin. Scripture says he became sin for us. He who knew no sin. He had nothing to do with sin. That's the beauty of his love. He had nothing to do with sin, had no knowledge of it. And therefore, when he took on sinful flesh, he began to experience all the things that we experience. That's what the writer said. We don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the infirmities of our flesh. But in all points, he was tempted, just like we are. Yet he did not sin. Why didn't he sin? Because he's perfect. He's righteous. Right? Come on. And he's letting us know he couldn't send another representative to do it. He had to do it himself. Right? He had to do it himself. So therefore, now when you say, when the scripture says they looked all over and could not find anyone worthy to loose the seals. Come on, read a little bit more. What was that in verse number? What was that? Verse number one. Verse number two says what? Yeah. Who is worthy to open up the books? To loose the seals. Come on, saints. That's the truth. That's why you thank Jesus that right is not in another human. Because if a human gets mad or gets frustrated, huh? Like you had a little Donald Trump You say Donald Trump, he got mad because he didn't win. Now, what if he had the right to loose the seals? Huh? Come on, you know he wanted to pour out his wrath. He wanted to pour out his conviction because he was upset that he lost that race. And if he could destroy everyone that opposed him, he would do it. Oh, yes, he would. You best believe when people go on shooting rampages, their desire is to kill everybody, not somebody. You say, well, they got these nuclear codes, and these nuclear codes are so dangerous that if they lose it and they destroy, send a missile, it'll destroy the whole earth. I'm trying to tell you, if you leave that up to the human, he will destroy everything that is in him. But that's why the writer is saying here, the human cannot do this. I don't care what devices they create. I don't care what codes they have. Jesus sets the boundaries. He is the one that is in control. So Isaiah said the government is on his shoulder. In other words, he rules the just as well as the unjust. I don't care what they create. I don't care what they devise. They can't do nothing unless Jesus gives them the ability to do it. Ask Pharaoh and his army. When they tried to view themselves as superior to another race, and they said, we're going to kill them right where they stand, they tried to go up against God Almighty, and they lost that battle. Israel didn't lift up a fist. Israel did not shoot a bow nor an arrow. Jesus said he swallowed them up in the sea. He drowned a horse and his rider on the sea, right? And promised them, you will never see them again. They will never threaten you again. And to this day, Egypt has never threatened Israel again. Jesus is true to his word, right? He's true to his word. Israel has never been threatened by Egypt anymore. Why? Because Jesus said it. Jesus promised it. He promised it, and when he promises something, he sticks to his word. Right? And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? So now you got them. They say, the angel said, who is worthy to loose the seals of this book? Huh? In other words, to pour out wrath. To deal with sin. The way sin needs to be dealt with. Huh? Oh yeah, saints. Somebody, there is one that's got the power to deal with sin. In other words, he's going to get to the point where he's sick of people crying about it. He's sick of people being taken advantage of it. Huh? Don't think, because all this stuff that is going on in the earth, that somebody don't see it. Jesus sees it all. And he's got a day in his mind. And according to the scripture, he's upset every single day. We strive our best to change the anger of God and to put a smile on his face. That's why I say, don't you let the devil stop you from praising Jesus. Why? Because every day he's already upset with the wicked. It is up to the righteous to comfort our God. Come on, to let him know, Jesus, even though you see all of these sinners around the earth with no mind to serve you, no mind to praise you, Lord, there's still one. Oh yeah, yes. There's still one that recognizes your supremacy, that recognizes that Jesus, you are God all by yourself, and you do not change. You're right all day long. Everything you do is fair. Somebody's got to cry that, saint. If you don't cry it, you don't want the Lord to look at you and include you with them. Huh? The one that he is what? Angry with. Every day, right? And because of his anger, one day the earth is going to be free from righteousness. In other words, the church is going to be taken up. Righteousness is going to be lifted off of the earth. And the Lord, and that's going to be like a signal. When he sees righteousness lifted off of the earth, that's going to be a sign to the heavens. Someone is going to answer the question of that great angel. The great angel asks the question, who is worthy to do what? Open the book.
him. You spit on him. You would none of his reproof receive. Therefore, the Lord said, I'm going to let your worst fear come upon you. How's it going to come like a whirlwind, right?
Yes, it is going to come like a whirlwind. Go ask Revelation chapter number 5. When the angel asked his name, the angel is yet asking that question right now. Do y'all understand that? He's still asking that question. Who is worthy? And the earth is, the heavens are keeping silent. The heavens are not speaking right now. But that's why we've got to speak down here on the earth. We've got to speak and say, yes, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. Can't nobody do what you do, Jesus. I don't want Satan to get it in his mind to think that he is equal to my God. I don't want Satan to get in his mind to think that I'm considering to abandon Jesus, to follow behind him. Because the more if I even consider it, I'm making that devil think that he's got somebody that feels he is worthy. And I want Satan to know you are not worthy. No day of the week, no hour of the day, no second of an hour, you are not worthy. Jesus gets all the praise, right? Jesus gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. And he alone is worthy. Huh? One day, those that think like that are going to be lifted up off of the earth. Oh, yes. When time says enough is enough, those that think like that are going to be lifted up off of the earth. And let's see what happens. Let's read a little bit more. Yes.
Neither under the earth.
Yes.
Was able to open the book.
Yes.
Neither to look thereon.
Don't even look at it. Yeah.
Not wept much. Because no man was found worthy.
Nobody was worthy.
Neither to look thereon.
Come on, saints. In all of our wisdom, in all of our knowledge, and thinking we the most to say the least, that's how you know we're filled with the spirit of Satan. When we think we are something that we are not. Because Jesus done told you you're not even worthy to look at this book. And talking about interpreting or reading, you're not even worthy to read the book. Come on, read a little bit more.
And it says, verse 5. And one of the elders said unto me.
And now, you ask yourself the question, where did a fellow like this come from? Huh? That means we're talking about life after the rapture. The saints have been what? Lifted up. We have been lifted up into the heavens. And because we know Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost. Say, why do you got to have the Holy Ghost? Because the Holy Ghost gives you a knowledge. It gives you an intimate connection with Jesus. You are to know Jesus in the pardoning of your sin. In other words, his ability to remove sin from you and to keep it out of you. The Holy Ghost is a seal. I said it a couple of weeks ago. It keeps you both inside and on the outside. And the Lord is looking for you to have a testimony. At the end of this thing called life, he's looking for you to have a testimony. What kind of testimony? If anybody can keep you, Jesus can keep you. Keep you from what? Keep you from falling. No matter how much the enemy tempts you, no matter how much he distracts you, the name of the Lord is a strong power. And I ran in that name and I found safety. Safety from who? Safety from you and safety from me, right? That's the truth. I found safety. And because I went through this thing called life and have experienced the power of Jesus to keep me even when I'm in a sinful body, I've got something to say. Oh yeah, if I let Jesus do this thing the way he planned for it to be done, I'm going to have something to say. I'm going to have something to say to the angels that they know nothing of. They don't know nothing about having to live down here on the earth and to resist the devil. They remember, when angels started considering what Satan said, they failed. When they got distracted and followed behind Lucifer, they failed. They went right with him. There was no turning back. There was no reversing it. That's why the Lord said there was a great woe in the heavens. There was a great woe in the heavens.
Meaning of war, don't think war like it was a thing where people are fighting. There was conflict there. And Jesus said, I will not tolerate conflict. I'm not going to tolerate anybody going against what I say. Why? Because I'm God, right?
Because
said he kicked out Satan. And not just Satan, all of those angels that follow behind him with him. And those angels that follow behind with him, he bound them up in chains. An angel on earth, he bound them up in chains. But he let that no good thing, Lucifer, keep on working. He let him keep on working in the earth because he challenged God. Oh, yes, he does. He challenges God. He says, God, if you do this, I guarantee you they'll do that. I guarantee you they'll do that. So he said, go right on. Try my servants. Try them. Huh? Oh, yes, the Lord look at each and every one of us. And he said the same thing about us. Why? Because you have declared. You have expressed your faith. You said, Lord, I believe. And because you said, Lord, I believe, Jesus says, now try them. See what they're made of. And therefore the enemy comes at your left and right, day in and day out. But he will want to choke you off. But no matter how much he attacks, the Lord says, I'm going to still show you my power. Why? Because every now and then, I'm going to put that hand there. That way, even though they see you, you can't get to them. What does that look like, Elder Scudder? Someone next door to me gets shot. I know that bullet wasn't intended for them. Why? Because they in sin. That devil wanted to get me. And he could not get me. Why? Because Jesus put a what? A hedge right there, right? Huh? That's the truth, saints. That devil wanted to get me. That's why the Lord say, that's why when we go by accidents and things we see on television, that's why we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, because I know I was the intended target. You go down the street, you see someone's car flipped over. You say, I thank you, Jesus. Why? Because in reality, I know I was the intended target. Some kind of way the devil was trying to get to me. But the Lord dispatched his angels. Then he dispatched his angels to be what? To safeguard us. To be a hedge of protection against us. To keep us from both danger seen and danger unseen. Sometimes we get so mad because we're running late. Then you realize in your travels you see something happen. You say, oh, wow, that's horrible. You say, well, who was it that held me back? What was going on? The Lord said, I know the end from the beginning. I planned your thing out long before you got here. All you got to do is humble yourself and let me take control, right? That's the truth. Nobody was worthy. I don't want to get off track. Nobody was worthy to loose those seals. But then the elder. In other words, the church stood up. Church member stood up and said to old John that was weeping and crying. Weeping and crying. Because nobody was worthy. But the church stood up. The church in its complete state stood up. Meaning the church was no longer in a body of flesh. It was in a glorified body. In other words, wasn't no more crying. Wasn't no more sorrowing. They had nothing but joy. In other words, John was crying because John hadn't completed his course yet. But those that completed the course had a testimony. Said Jesus got the power. Why you know Jesus got? Because he changed my body into a glorified body. And where I would be like you crying, he done wiped the tears from my eyes. I ain't got another cry in me no more. All I got is joy inside of me. That's why the elders say, don't you weep. When you looking at me, you looking at what you gonna be. If you finish your course, right? But you got to finish what you started. You can't fall by the wayside. Look at that elder and see yourself. That is going to be you if you hold on. If you hold on, there's going to be a day where you won't cry no more. You won't have no pain. You won't be threatened by death. Why? Because you're going to be around the throne. Huh? Come on, let's see a little bit more. What they gonna be doing? The angels, the elders said, "Weep not."
Weep not. He said, "Behold, the Lion of Judah."
Huh?
The root of David.
What did Jesus do? He prevailed.
To open
the book.
To loose
the seals. Right? Huh? Keep going.
And I behold, and I lo, in the midst of the throne.
In the midst of the throne stood four beasts.
In the midst of the elders.
That got to be Jesus.
Yes.
That got to be
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus has got to be the center
yes.
of all attention.
Jesus.
See, he's trying to teach you that right now.
Yes.
Why? Because he's trying to tell you, saint,
yes.
I don't care what you go through on this earth,
yes.
don't let me move
yes.
from the center
yes.
of who you are.
Yes.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Don't be like the Gentiles. Why? Because they move Jesus out the way. And they stop seeking after stuff that Jesus already know you have need of, right? Huh? Priorities. Jesus got to be the center. Huh? Oh, yeah. Light tells a whole lot. Sometimes you'll be looking around and you say, why is such and such not running like they should be running? And you just got to call it for what it is. Some kind of way, Jesus is not the center. How do you know he's not the center, Elder Scudder? Because I'm looking at my life. I'm trying to tell you I go through things too. Some try to take me off track too. But I got my mind made up. I got to see Jesus, right? I got to see Jesus. And I'm not going to let nothing take me off track. No matter how I feel, no matter what I'm going through, no matter how much stuff tries to distract me, I've got to stay focused. I've got to stay centered on Jesus. Why? Because he's my hope. If I'm going to get out of this, I've got to look forward to Jesus, right? Why? Because he is my hope. This stuff down here is not my hope.
No.
This stuff is only temporary.
Yeah.
But I'm looking one day to get out of this.
Yeah.
I'm looking one day to be just like that elder.
Right.
To look at somebody that's crying
right.
and say, do not cry
right.
no more.
Right.
Why? Because Jesus has prevailed.
Yes.
In other words, he overcame it all.
Yes.
In other words, all of his existence. In this thing called flesh,
yes.
every attack, every slander, every humiliation,
yes.
he went through it all.
Yes.
From the manger to the grave,
yes.
he went through it all.
Yep.
They tried to put that rock there in front of him.
Jesus.
He moved that rock on out the way. Got up out that grave.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Got up out that grave.
Yes.
Showed himself to the saints for 40-something days.
Yes.
Then at the end of that time, he looked at them and said, all power is given unto me.
Yeah.
In both heaven and in earth. That's what he said. All power
yeah.
is given unto who? Me. In other words, he established hope.
Yeah.
No matter what you go through after I leave about this earth, I am your hope.
Right.
I'm the one that got what? All power is given to who? Jesus. He is the center of it all. That's why the man at the gate called Beautiful was not look. He could not receive another message other than Jesus if he wanted to be healed. Paul and Silas could not be praising another if they wanted that jailhouse to be open. Huh? They had to go to the center. Huh? They had to go to the source of where the power is at. The power is in the name, right? Power is in the name. Stephen couldn't look at nobody else. Stephen couldn't preach nothing else. He had to preach the source. The source is the what? Is the name. No one else could stand up and say, who art thou, Lord? Michael couldn't stand up and say, I was the one that did it. Gabriel couldn't stand up and say, the one that I was did it. Why? Because Saul saw a light above the brightness of the sun. And that was not Michael. That was not Gabriel. And when Saul asked the question, who are you, Lord? Michael couldn't say something. Why? Because he's not the Lord. Gabriel couldn't say nothing because he's not the Lord. The Lord had to speak up. When somebody asked the right question, who are you, Lord? The Lord had to speak up. And what did he say? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. We must speak up. When things come up in our lives and the Lord makes a way for us, That thing is trying to say, who did it for you? You must speak up and say, it's Jesus. Jesus did it. Worthy is the Lamb. I acknowledge him in what? All of his ways. Worthy is the Lamb. Read a little bit more. Read a little bit more. I don't want to get off. Come on, Revelation. We are Revelation. In the midst of it. In the center of it. Yeah, that's right, saints. That's where the devil be trying to attack the church. Trying to make us focus on stuff that ain't got to do with nothing with Jesus. That heating pump ain't had nothing to do with Jesus. That thing was trying to distract us this morning. And it ain't had nothing to do with Jesus. And that devil said, I've got him now. I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in there. No, you not. We're going to praise the Lord right in spite of. We're going to praise him right in the midst of. Why? Because Jesus is worth. No matter what goes on, Jesus is worthy, saints. And you've got to stand up and say, you got to let the devil know, no, you are not worthy. Jesus is worthy.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Don't care how much you attack. How much you try to set up discouragement. These things happen to do what? Try to discourage you. Try to make you feel like, oh God, why we got to go through this? Not again, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. You guys say no. What we got to do? Come on, stop it up.
That's right.
Stop it up. Keep on moving. Let them look at myself. Ain't stop yet. Man said, I'm going to come today. Oh, and it looked like it may be a blessing, but it could be a distraction, too.
Yeah.
We said, well, I got to do this. Let me, I'm going to go work with it. And then we just started going. Said, well, service got to get started. And I guess that man said, well, don't worry about it. Now, who you know going to come over here and do something and then not get no money the day they come?
Hey, thank you.
No, don't worry about it. I'm going to just bill you all. Who did that? You know. All in my mind, I was like, Lord, we got to figure out how we're going to get the cash to do this. Because, you know, most people don't want to say, I don't want no card, I don't want no check, I don't care. He said, no, I just bill you. You know, don't worry about it. Go on, Lord. See, that devil be trying, but the Lord said, no, I'm great. And my people want to praise me. I want to praise Jesus. This is not an inconvenience. I want to do this. I want to be here, saints. I want to be actively engaged in the service of the Lord. I look forward to this. No matter how I feel, I look forward to being here. I don't get tired of seeing the saints. I don't get tired of the praise. I don't get tired. People say, you look like you get tired. I don't get tired of working with the young people. Why? Because I can see I can see beyond that. I realize they're going to get older. And I need them to know Jesus. I don't want them to know Satan. I need them to know Jesus. And I want to train them up in the way that they should go. I don't want them on no corners. I don't want them walking around with untimely babies. I want them to know Jesus. Do y'all understand that? Yeah, the devil be trying to make you hungry. All these kids, let them go. They keep them going. Let them keep them home. But what in the devil they going to do when they're at home? Get in a pure devilment. And then you going to be saying, pray for them such and such and such. They stealing. And I stole a car. They selling drugs. They own drugs. You don't want that. Do you want that to be said? I want them to grow up to be respectable young people. Young people that know Jesus. That's why my heart go out, your son. Because I know we tried to start it off that way. And remember when there was a day when he was in here talking about, what's his name? What's his name? Well, he was glad about it. I mean, he was glad about it. He was okay with it. But you see how the devil tried to cut it off? Keep him away for a couple of years? Then all of a sudden now we bring them back in. I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm this. I'm that. See how devil work? See, that's why you got to be very careful. Don't give Satan room. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Don't give him room to work, because it don't take him long to work.
All right.
Then you got to go through and try to reprogram.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
it is.
That's hard to do. That devil, once he set root, it's hard to unloosen his root.
Right.
It's like he got a grip on him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't you think you can play with Satan?
No.
Don't you think you can play with this world?
No.
This world will swallow you up. And all it has to bring you is death.
Yes.
It ain't got nothing else to offer you but death.
Yes.
In some shape or form, it's going to kill you.
Yes.
And who's going to be the loser? You won't be this. You know how the elders up there? That's not going to be you.
Right.
Well, the elders got to where am I? If I ain't there, where am I going to be? You're going to be right here on this earth.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You're going to be right here on this earth weeping and wailing. Wishing you could be saved.
Yeah.
You don't want that to be said about you, do you?
No.
No. I want to be what this fellow is.
Yeah.
They're saying, look at the worthy is the, what do you say? The root of David. Something like that. Has prevailed.
To open the book.
Yes. Not looked.
In the midst of the throne.
Them four beasts that were yelling, holy, holy. In the midst of them.
Elders.
Uh-huh.
Seven horns and seven
eyes. Yes.
Which are the seven spirits of God.
Yes.
And
stood
forth into all the earth.
Uh-huh.
And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him.
Hold up. What did he do?
Not them.
One.
Right.
They go that whole three God doctrine. No.
Right.
Only one is worthy.
Right.
One got the power to do this. He don't need no help.
Uh-huh.
What did he do? He took the book.
Yeah.
Huh?
Took that book out of the right hand of him.
Now, hold up. What are you talking about? I thought Jesus is God. Remember, God is a spirit.
Right.
Spirits have no blood to shed.
Right.
Huh? And to let you see that there is no separation between the Spirit of God and the flesh of God.
Uh-huh.
The flesh of God took the book out of the hand of the Spirit of God.
Right.
What does that mean, Elder Scott? That means that he's got all the power.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Whether you see him in the flesh or in the spirit, he's got all the power. He said the same God that's in heaven is on the earth. And the same God that is on the earth is in the heaven. When you see me, you've seen the Father, right? I and my Father are what? That's what Stephen saw when he was being stoned. He was calling on Jesus. But he said he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the throne of God. Now John is seeing the same thing. John said he saw the Lamb go up to him that was on the throne and took the book. Now, if God got power, he ain't going to let nobody just come take somebody his ass. They let you know he is God, right? We're talking about authorities being shifted. That's all it is. It ain't talking about another figure on the throne. It's talking about a shifting in authority, right? In other words, the same one that was in the flesh is the same one on the throne. When you see Jesus, you see God. He is the image of the invisible God, right?
Yes.
But by him all things consist.
Right.
Took the book out of him that sat on the throne.
Uh-huh.
Keep going.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 20 elders
fell down. Hold up. In other words, Jesus took on another role.
Yes.
And this is what I was trying to lead up into. The time that he is in right now, he is in his advocacy work. In other words, he is advocating for us. And even when we mess up, he is saying, still give him a little bit more time. Still give him time. In other words, he's in a role of having compassion, showing love on an undeserving creature. But then he's going to shift from that slain, compassionate lamb, and he's going to have another. You're going to sit there with authority.
Yes.
No more compassion.
Right.
No more love.
Right.
You're going to sit there as a judge.
Right.
You're going to just be declaring stuff.
Right.
Right. Stuff just got to happen. Just like, there's no more. Oh, please, mercy. Be merciful. That's why when the scripture described him as taking on that another role. It's another role of what? King of kings.
Yeah.
Lord of lords. But that role was complete supremacy. Not sharing it. Not delegated, complete supremacy now.
Right.
He's sitting on that throne, and the scriptures described that everybody just stopped. Oh, yes. Scripture said the beasts as well as the elders.
Right.
When he came to that throne, what did they say? They fell down. They did what they were supposed to do. They fell down and did what?
They fell before the Lamb, having every one of them heart. And golden vows.
Yes.
Older,
yes.
Which are the
prayers. Which are the prayers. Didn't I tell you got to have a testimony?
No.
You got to go through down here, saint. If you don't go through, you're not going to have nothing to do out there. You want to be able to say something up there, don't you? You've got to go through. No matter what happens, you must go through. That is your testimony. That is your vow. That is your odor. That is your sound in heaven, right? That's what Elder Scudder was talking about, that each one of us has to have a song. Each one of us has to have a song that we're going to sing to Jesus, right? That you go through, right? That you go through. Not give up, but that you go through. You've got to go through. Nobody but the devil's trying to keep you from this. You've got to go through. Now you say, Elder Scudder, you see, I'm not making this up. It's right there in your book. The devil don't want you to get to that point. That when you bow down before Jesus, he wants you to be able to say, I have nothing to offer you. I want to give him something. I want to give the Lord something. I got to have a testimony. I got to have a response. But what I have gone through, saint, it's personal. Y'all understand that? It's personal. You have to go through so that you can have your own soul, right? Your whole life has got to be filled. You see what the scripture says? When they bowed down, they what did they do?
They
bowed before him. Uh-huh. No, go back a little bit more. He came. Look at it. It says, and he said, taking the book, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts
and golden
vows. What were the golden vows full of? What are they full of? Odor? See, the devil don't want you to pray because he knows when you don't pray, your vow will be empty. You don't want your vow to be empty, right? All this calling Jesus, you putting something in your bucket. All of this. Every time I'm calling Jesus, every time I'm praying, I'm putting something in my bucket. The devil said, don't call him. Don't pray to him. Don't talk to Jesus. Why? Because he knows if you do that, you stop putting something in your bucket. One day, you're going to have to empty out your bucket. And what will be in it?
Say,
I ain't got no prayer. Ain't nothing going to be in your bucket then.
Right.
You ain't going to have nothing to offer Jesus.
Right.
Shame on you.
Right.
Shame.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
That's why the writer said, he describes this also when he talks about in the scriptures in Corinthians, where he says some will not have anything to lay at his feet. You don't want to be one of those that have nothing in your vow. The Lord, I told you, you're going to get a heart. The Lord's going to put a heart, and you will have a vow there. And what were those vows? Those vows are your prayers. What's in the vow? Your prayers. Not, I can't bank on Darian's prayer. He's got his own vow. I've got to put the prayer in my own vow. What vow are you talking about, Elder Scudder? My body. The Spirit works with my body. Why? Because I don't know what I should pray for. But it's Spirit itself making intercession for the saints, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
And when my prayer is done, it lets me know that all things work together for good to them that love Jesus, to them that are the called according to his purpose, right? That
That where am I holding my prayers at?
Thank you. Yes.
My vessel.
Yes.
My body is my vessel.
Yes.
And I must present my body as a living sacrifice. Why? Because this is whose vessel? It's mine.
Jesus.
That's why you say, Elder Scudder, when you get another body,
Jesus.
You don't think in terms of the flesh.
Jesus.
When I get another body,
Jesus.
The praise,
Jesus.
The prayer is stored in my soul.
Yes.
So the real praise and prayer is going to move out of this body into that other body.
Oh, yes.
And when it gets into that other body, it won't have the limitations of this body.
Right.
Huh? In this body, my voice is a little, my bones get a little, but when I get into that other body, and I say hallelujah, I'm going to realize and say, whoa, I ain't worried about no vocal cords. I ain't worried about no arms and no hands.
Yes.
That way I'm going to just let it just rip.
Yes.
You know how they say let it rip? I'm going to let it rip.
Right.
I'm going to see just how far I can go. Right?
Yes.
I'm going to just let it bellow out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. That's right.
I'm going to just let it rip.
Yes.
Lord say, you're not going to just let it rip unattended.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it rip
Jesus.
To the one that is on the throne.
Yeah.
I'm going to bow down.
Excuse me,
I'm going to bow down to the one that is on the throne. And in that new body, right, it says, vocal cords are going to sound like hearts. The vocal cords are going to sound like hearts. And the vessel, the body is just going to be full of my prayer, right? And it's what the scripture says, it's just going to open up. That was that verse. I don't want to go out of it. It's going to open up. And it's going to be full of what? Odor. It's going to be a good, scripture says, a sweet smelling. A sweet smelling savor. It's as though I put the best perfume on. And the Lord just going to inhale it all. Talking about all my prayers. He's just going to inhale it all. I'm going to just open up, and he's going to be like this. In other words, it was worth it. It was worth it. And what the devil's trying to do? The devil just don't want you to be able to be there. He's trying to snatch all of that out of you. And you imagine you go to hell knowing all of this. You imagine you go to hell knowing all of this. Then went down in water in Jesus' name. You know all this stuff. And you're going to end up going down to hell. Now, what you think that looks like? That don't even look smart, do it? Not when you got an opportunity. I got an opportunity to come before the one that's going to be on the throne. Scripture says that. Come on, read it. Look at verse number 9. They sung a what? A new song. They sung a new song. Isn't that something? Hey, you're worthy to do what? Take the book. You are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain. He just didn't die. They killed him. He was slain, and has redeemed us. That's how I know that that's the church. Because we've been bought with a price, right? We've been bought with a price. The price that we've been bought with is his blood. That's why the writer said, you are not your own. You belong to who? That's why we remind you every now and then. I know you get sidetracked. You get caught up with these that are not saved. These that are not
redeemed. But I have to remind you, I just got to use the same. I have to remind you, you are redeemed. You are not like them. You say, well, Scudder, I want them saved. Well, witness to them then. Do everything you can do to encourage them to come on over here. Come on over. Don't live beneath your privilege. Lord gave you the same opportunity that he gave on me. And if he did it with me, he'll do the same thing for you. But you've got to want it. You got to want it with everything inside of you. Look at it and say, to loose there. Redeemed us unto God by thy blood. That's why I tell you, this is not a black salvation. We are not the only ones that's going to be saved. Look at what it says. What does the redeemed look like? He redeemed people by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people. And this is going to be beautiful, isn't it? It's going to be a beautiful array of all kind of people standing before Jesus. Black, white, Asian, Puerto Rican, civilizations that have been cut off completely. People that we don't even know what they look like. Huh? They're going to be redeemed just like we redeemed. And they're going to be standing right there with us. Huh? When the world's trying to tell them the Lord don't care about you, the Lord ain't paying attention to your prayers, the Lord says, just hold on. Just be faithful. Stay right there. It's going to pay off after a while. And here we see the payoff. Because now, they're not singing no sad song. They're not singing no song about, Lord, take me through. They're not singing no song, keep my mind on you, Jesus. They're not singing songs like that. They're singing a new song. Song that ain't never been in your vocabulary before. Song of what? Sound like a song of victory. Victory. Sound like a song. I know we try to practice it down here. Victory, victory. We don't know it yet. We don't really know what it's like to be victorious. Huh? Because we still going through. We still got battles to fight. But one day we ain't going to fight no more battles. And we're going to say, it's over. Victory, victory, victory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall do what? We ain't on earth yet because we up in the heavens at that particular time. But you see the hope. The hope is we now going to go back to the earth. And when we get back to the earth, writer says, we ain't going to be viewed as the poor people. We are now. Huh? The lowly, black, stinky, dirty. Your nose is too big. Your hips is too wide. Your hair is too... ain't going to be viewed like that no more. Right, it says you're going to be viewed as kings and priests. In other words, the earth is going to welcome us. Earth is going to be glad that we are here, right? Aren't you looking for an environment like that? We ain't got to worry about nobody treating me wrong. Looking down on me for stuff I have no control over. I ain't got no control over how I look. I just got to deal with it, right? Thank the Lord he bring you into the church. Church looks beyond what you look like. We focus on your soul, right? Tell you, get your soul right. Folks come in here all made up, all kind of makeup. People thinking they look at the most saving. You can't even praise the Lord. They're so pretty. So pretty. We say, we ain't praise this day. Let everything that had breath praise him. But I praise him. My nails are going to be broke. Let everything that has breath praise him. Clap your hands. I can't clap my hands because my nails are too long. And don't change the word. You got to make a choice. Take the nails off or clap your hands, right? I can't mess up my lips. I'm going to mess up my lips. I'm not going to look pretty. Take it. Either sing the song of praise. Call on the name of Jesus. Huh? But my mascara and my makeup is going to run. Call on the name of Jesus. Cry out before.
Make up your mind. What are you going to do? It can't be about you and be about Jesus. And then you say, oh, I guess I got to take all this stuff off. But I got all these blemishes. Got all of these scars. Where the Lord goes, then the Lord come on in and fill you with the Holy Ghost. Make something beautiful out of your life. Even when you are scarred up, He still makes something beautiful out of your life. You see, the saints still hug you and love you. Just the same, right? So glad to see you. So glad that you are here. Then you learn how to love Jesus like you're supposed to love Jesus. Then you find somebody to fall in love with you. Then look beyond all the scars and the blemishes and say, you are a very beautiful person. I want to get to know you. They say just like you say. Say, let's grow old together and praise and magnify Jesus. Then you get yourself married. He get down on his knees and say, will you honor me to be your wife? To care for you and take care of you. Yeah, I'll be your wife. Come on, let's go to church and pray. And thank Jesus for what He has done for us. Family, come in. What y'all gonna do at our wedding? We just gonna praise Jesus. We ain't gonna dance. No, we ain't gonna do no dancing. Dancing ain't get me saved. Dancing ain't gonna get me you. I'ma praise Jesus. What y'all gonna do? Had a choir sing. Had the saints testify. At a wedding, amen, right? At a wedding. Why? Because this is a day of rejoicing, right? Day to magnify Jesus. Then you get into your home. You've got now a prayer partner. Somebody to encourage you and you encourage them. Y'all running together to Jesus, right? Now y'all a tag team when it comes to witnessing, trying to find other couples. Why don't you come follow us as we follow Jesus? And you grow old. The death angel comes, takes you out of here. One by one leaves. Say, I thank Jesus. Yes. I thank the Lord. The Lord blessed me with a beautiful companion. Yes. A beautiful partner. But yes. The Lord has taken her. Yes. The Lord has taken him. Uh-huh. And he is to be praised. Right. He is to be praised, right? Yes. Why? Because I know Jesus, right? Yes. He is my first love. Yes. Y'all understand that? Yes. Jesus is my first love.
Yes. Thank you.
My lovely wife is my second, but Jesus is my first. And if he takes her away, praise him. Just be saved, right? She wants my wife to be saved, right? If she be saved, it's okay. Why? Because I know when one day, if I stay saved, we're going to be up there together. Bow down before the throne, right?
Yes.
And because I've encouraged her to pray, and she has encouraged me to pray, when we both bow down before the throne, we're not going to be looking at one another. I'm too focused on Jesus. Say, well, where is the woman? I don't care where she's at. I pray she will save. But right now, my attention is on him that is sitting on the throne. Why is your attention there? Because he has taken the seat. And when he takes the seat, something in me collapses. Something in me falls down. And what? Something in me falls down. And something on the inside of me cries out words. Then I start to sing a song that I never sung before. Is that what the scripture says? And the devil is trying to keep that from happening. Someone made you a promise, Jesus. And the devil is trying to keep that promise from being fulfilled in whose life? My life. You can't really worry about nobody. I'm being honest. You really can't. When it comes down to this, that's when the writer's talking about save yourself. You really can't worry about nobody else. You may, now, after you get yourself saved, you can encourage. I can encourage you to get yourself right. I encourage you to come on in, get what you need to be at. But I can't let you control me.
Right.
So, because when you stop, I got to keep on going.
Right.
Why? Because, you know, when you die, you're going to see Jesus for yourself.
Right.
And when I die, I'm going to see Jesus for myself.
Right.
So I can't really worry about what you do and what you don't do.
Right.
Only thing I can do is when I see you acting a little funny, don't you forget who you are.
Right.
What are you talking about? I'm so sick of all of the black. You got to look beyond the flesh. You are redeemed. Why? Because the Lord bought you.
Yeah.
Huh? But you will see what they did on to that fella down the street. They shot me. I'm trying to wake you up out of sleep. The Lord bought you by his blood. I don't know whether that other fella went down in the water. Was he in the church? Oh, no, he wasn't in no church. Then obviously I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to the one that was redeemed, that went down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. For what reason? For the remission, for the removal of what? And the Lord told you to come up walking. If I shouted black power, black lives matter, blah 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 before I went down in that water, after I go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ, I got to come up walking in the what? The newness. See why black lives can't be the focus? Because you see, when you get into the new, the writer done told you, he say, out of every kindred and tongue and people and what? So you got to learn how to get along with everybody. You say, I'm scared of all. The white people treat me like dirt. Well, you may have just come across a couple of them. But somebody out there got some common sense.
Right.
You say, oh, such and such is a good white. Well, they're good. Well, you ought to witness to them.
Right.
Good. I love to go over there to the store on the corner, Chinese, get some Chinese food. They really nice to me. Well, you ought to witness to them.
Right.
Witness to them. Tell them to come on to church. Tell them to get this L saved. Why? Because I'm trying to tell you what it's going to look like.
Right.
You're going to be standing beside somebody that look just
right.
like that. Heaven is not going to be looking like us. You know, when you get there, it ain't going to be just our people. No, 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 no. It ain't going to be the blacks all over the corner like this.
Oh.
No. You're going to look, and as writer said, there's going to be every tongue. Every. That's going to be a beautiful thing, isn't it? Lord going to kill all that division.
Right.
That's all that's down here is a bunch of division. Lord going to kill all of that division. Going to be no political stuff. What are you? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you an independent? Lord going to kill all of that. Lord going to say, I'm the one on the throne. I'm the president. I'm the king. I'm your dictator. I'm your master. Whatever you want to call me, I call the shots,
right?
I got all the power. And when I take my seat, that thing just resonating in my mind. Scripture says, the lamb go up to the throne, take the book. Y'all realize that day is coming, saints? And when he take the book, he ain't taking it to read it. He said he gonna loose the seals. And when you go on to the next chapter, this day, woe to the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Why? Because the seals have been broken. Huh? And his wrath. You say, why you don't go into all that? Because I ain't paying no bid here.
Right.
I don't even care what's going on. Because I'm trying to be right there at the foot of Jesus.
Right.
So what go on in the earth, Jesus, it can go on. Just let me be up there where Jesus is.
Right.
Let me be where, when Jesus finished doing what he going to do down here, then he said he going to bring down from heaven a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness.
Yeah.
No dogs, no sorcerers, no whoremongers,
right.
No those that make a lie, love the lie, and all that other horrible stuff. None of them going to be there.
No.
Lord say he going to open up the gate. In other words, ain't going to be no need for no locked gates no more.
No.
Ain't that a beautiful environment?
Yes.
We don't know a righteous earth like that.
No.
We don't know a righteous earth like that. But we're going to have an environment where everybody's going to be loving Jesus. I ain't got to worry about hearing different, you know, music that I don't like, people treating people wrong. Everybody's going to be loving Jesus. Talking about, isn't that, can you imagine that? You know, you go into a store and you're in an environment where everybody's loving Jesus, and everywhere you go, there's saints. I mean, when I'm everywhere, I go to the gas station, saints. I go to the stoplight, saints. I mean, everywhere I look, it's just saints. Who wouldn't want to live in a world like this? I mean, just saints everywhere. People just praising Jesus. You say every television channel you turn to, nothing but saints. Talking about the goodness of Jesus. Saints out there throwing the football. Jesus, he won it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. News coming on. But instead of them saying good afternoon, praise the Lord, everybody. See what the Lord has done, right? Can you imagine a day like that? No more murders.
No.
No more flashing lights. No more cops. We don't need them. Say no more guns.
No more
Jesus. And that's some lions walking down the street.
Yeah.
Are these lions walking down the street? And you say, oh, no, lion. Lion looking up at you. Praise the Lord. No more death.
Right.
I'm trying to say there's going to be no more death.
Right.
Can you imagine an environment like that?
Right. Yeah.
Birds just coming right on down and just sitting right there with you.
Oh.
Ain't trying to get away from you, just sitting right there with you. Chirp. Because they don't feel threatened.
Right.
No more death.
Right. Jesus.
We don't know a world like that yet.
Yeah.
But you imagine it is there.
Yeah.
According to the scripture,
yeah.
It is a what? A new heaven.
Yeah.
And a what? A new earth.
Yeah.
No more night.
No.
You don't have to worry about being tired.
No.
Say what you they say, what you gonna do? Same thing I did yesterday. We're gonna praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus praise time.
Yeah.
Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about say, well, such and such is on the other side of the other globe. I ain't gotta worry about saying, let me go catch a plane.
Right.
Where they at? Let's go on over to such and such.
Right.
Right. You don't know nothing about that yet. No more cars. No more jets.
Nope.
No more none of that. Just how about where you need to be at? That's going to be a beautiful man. That's going to be a beautiful thing. But you got to hold on. You can't let the devil cheat you out of that. So many people, the enemy has snatched that away from.
Yeah.
They've died unbelievers.
Because
they just couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
And Deacon Williams was saying on yesterday, and I'm going to let y'all go. Said most of the time you talk to these people, they ain't got no problem with the doctrine of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Let the devil just fool them.
Yeah.
That's why I laugh when even people come questioning the doctrine. I'm saying to myself, but you the one testified that you were saved.
Yeah.
You the one said that you had the Holy Ghost. The teaching, I didn't change the teaching. Same teaching who gave, you received the Holy Ghost, but all of a sudden now the teaching is wrong. And obviously, no, teaching ain't wrong, you wrong. You changed, teaching is still the same. Jesus done told you, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you the one changed. We serve an immutable God, meaning a God that does not change, saints. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All right, I'm done, I'm not going to hold y'all up any longer. My time is done.